Good afternoon again. This is Veronica Entwistle, and we're talking to our paradigm shifter today, shifting paradigms through equine-facilitated training and other things that she knows and understands. Welcome, Kathleen Ingram.
Thank you, Veronica. Yeah, thanks for asking me to come. I love the title of your show, by the way.
Oh, good. Don't you want to be one?
Yes.
We all do, don't we?
Yes.
And Kathleen is the right-hand person of Linda Kahanov of Epona. And Linda wrote a book called The Tao of Equus, which kind of started the ball rolling, didn't she?
Yes. Actually, Linda and I met right when she was just starting to get a publisher for The Tao of Equus. And so she had started to write this book, and I saw what she had written about this incredible work, and I thought, this woman knows how to explain this work.
Now, the work was about getting in touch with the ancient wisdom and intuitive potential, the healing potential of horses, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And then, of course, and then helping people to find their own human their potential through the horses.
I was using a quote from the website, from actually Angelus Arian's book, which is, the horse is always a catalyst for profound change and transformation. When you harness their inspirational power for your own creative dreams, then inspiration, synchronicities, and insights become a new way of being. I love that. That's really exciting,
too.
Isn't
it? Beautiful.
So how does it work that horses can... just tell me how it works. That's
well,
all.
One thing I like to say that at Epona's, what we do is we help people to take the whisperer out of the horse whisperer.
Oh.
In other words, what we do is we, through a series of exercises that we do with our clients and people that come to various workshops or trainings, is we take them through a process that enhances their own creativity and help them to identify things that we call the false self voices so that they can start to live in their authentic self.
So, like, what is it about the actual horse that evokes in me that ability to become more authentic and
okay.
more creative?
The horse, first of all, lives in the present moment. And as a prey animal, they're very attuned to every single nuance that might be going on with inside of you.
A prey animal means that they are preyed
upon. Yes, they're preyed upon in nature.
Okay.
Humans are both prey and predator. We have a combination of both.
Right.
But the horse as a prey animal has to be attuned. You know, you see the National Geographic with the lion going through the herd of the zebra, you know, and sometimes they're sitting there grazing because he's had a full stomach, and sometimes you see them take off at speed of lightning.
Right.
So they're extremely in tune to that, and at a point
so they're kind of like radar, right?
Yes. And of course, they have very large guts and very large hearts, so they have extremely accurate sensing devices.
Hmm.
And we believe that we also have really accurate sensing devices, but so many of us have been taught that we're not supposed to pay attention to our bodies,
mm-hmm.
to our intuition, to our creativity, or we're not creative if we can't, you know, create a beautiful drawing or a piece of music.
Mm-hmm.
So you talked about creativity. And what we do at Epona is we really help people to start to utilize different forms of creativity.
Hmm.
And one of the first processes we take people through is something that we call simply meet the herd.
Hmm.
It might seem like it's a sort of an easy process. You go out and look at the horses. But we take them through a series of exercises to help them to get prepared to meet the horses.
Okay.
For instance, we teach them something that Linda developed called the body scan. And it's not a way to relax your body. It's a way to use your body and start to find out what your information from your body.
So that you can tune into your own body before.
Right, you can tune into your own body, which helps you to start to get information from the horse.
The thing is, if you are incongruous and
yes.
you go with a lot of animals actually.
Yes, and children for sure too, right?
Yeah, that they yeah. immediately know, yeah.
They immediately know. So, and we take people through that.
Just a sec, I want to finish that thought.
Okay.
That they don't trust you, right?
That's right.
So you don't get along. So
right.
You're talking body scan is a good way to find out what you're actually reading.
Exactly what's going on. I mean, a lot of times in the old way it would be like, well, they'd say leave your troubles at the barn door, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get on your horse. Well, the horses know anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So what we'll tell people is,
because they're really psychic, aren't they?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Linda always says that she was haunted by the horse ancestors. She talks about that in the Tao of Equus. I mean, you know, it was like she had to write that book, you know.
Mm.
And of course, I'm very happy she did, and I'm sure there's lots of other people that are too.
Kathleen, I don't know if you want to, but there's a caller. I'm going to ask maybe.
Okay.
We'll take this caller, but I think we're going to hold our calls from now on. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Kathleen Ingram of Epona.
Hello?
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
My name is Nurse Package, like a package you get from the post office, and I'm calling you from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And now that you're talking about horses, I have an old book here with the Queen of England, and she's with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Have you ever seen that picture?
Probably, yes.
Yes, it's a very good one. And there's another picture. She's in Niagara Falls, and she's got her baby finger on a globe, and she says, rather damp.
Well, thank you for your call. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. And I think that we'll hold calls, Don and Seth. Thank you. So
right.
carry on, Kathleen. This is really interesting. So you start off by saying body scan.
Well, so that people can start to get in touch again, like with what's going on with them. That helps with their authenticity, and it does keep them safer. So what I started to say is if somebody is going to be going in with a horse, for instance, and they're frightened, we want to know that.
Right, okay.
And depending on what kind of fear it is, we also do something that's called the emotional message chart to help people to differentiate between different types of emotions that may feel the same.
Hmm.
For instance, fear and vulnerability feel the same in the body.
Well, you know,
they have a different message, don't they?
I walked in, and yes, they do. I walked into a horse stable one time, and the horse took a big bite on my arm.
Uh-huh.
And the person who was running the stable said, well, that's your fault. You showed your fear. I went, wow, next time I may as well lay down and give them salt and pepper because now I'm really scared.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But that wasn't it wasn't the same kind of training.
No, that's not in a somebody saying you showed your fear actually is not what we're talking about.
Okay.
You might have felt fear before you went in.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I was neophyte, you know.
Right, and you might have said, I'd like to have some assistance.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody has that kind of fear in their body, we never let them go in with the horses without assistance.
Excellent, okay.
But the other type of fear is, remember that book, I think the fellow's name was John Powell, I hope I'm correct in that. But anyway, he wrote a book called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway.
Yes.
Well, I'd like to rename it Feel the Vulnerability and Do It Anyway.
Excellent. Okay.
Because it's a different kind of fear. It's a vulnerability is the kind of fear you feel when there's going to be a change.
Mm-hmm.
And it might even be a good change, you know, a new job, a new position.
Well, it's a feeling we have to encourage in ourselves if we want to make change.
Well, particularly as a paradigm shifter, isn't that correct?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so there's a difference between fear and vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really some of the most interesting things people find out is, oh, my God, you know, it does feel the same in my body. So Linda developed something called the Emotional Message Chart, along with a woman named Carla McLaren. And this helps people to really start to differentiate between the different emotions and feelings that they're getting in their body so they can start to make sense of them.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. And use the emotions as information, which horses do.
Mm-hmm. They register who you are according to what you're reading.
Exactly. Or talking about the zebras or the horses in the field and, you know, a predator to come through like the lion. Well, what do? Their emotion says run.
Mm-hmm.
They feel fear, right? And they run.
Mm-hmm.
So you going in there that time was they were picking up probably on your fear,
mm-hmm.
but maybe somebody told you to not show it. So what they really, the reason they probably bit you was they were afraid because you were being incongruent.
Right. And I was really naive.
Well, yeah.
Well, my first show, the 4 o'clock show, is called Radiance by Design, which kind of matches what you're saying. You've got to kind of know what you're radiating out. I guess I should look at the Linda's emotional chart.
Yeah. Well, in Linda's second book, Riding Between the Worlds, which she wrote, by the way, after we started our first apprenticeship class, because that came out in, let's see when that one came out.
It's a
little easier to read, and it came out in 2003.
And it has a lot of good instruction in it.
It's very good instruction, and we had to start really making sure that we were writing down, and Linda, of course, is an excellent writer, but putting down exactly what we were teaching so people could follow it.
Right.
Did you know that she has a new book that just came out?
No, I don't.
Yeah. It's Way of the Horse, Equine Archetypes, and it's a set of 40 cards by the artist Kim McElroy, who's a beautiful horse artist. Mm-hmm. And then 40 essays that go with the cards.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and this is, I'm really excited about this. This actually just came out last month, I think.
And we can get this on the website?
You can get it through the Epona website. Well, you can find out the information. And that's, you want me to tell you that?
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. It's www.taoofequis, and that's T-A-O of, and Equus is EQUUS.com.
Wonderful, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll show you some of the cards there, I suppose.
Yes, and there'll be some information about that. But, of course, you can order it from our friendly Amazon, which a lot of people do.
Right.
But I'm excited about them because they take all the different concepts, and what Linda's done is she's done essays on like, the different sets of emotions, on intuition, on creativity.
So the cards are really instructional outside of being divination.
Yes.
They're divination as well, though, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, we'll take a look at those.
Yeah, I did a card spread before I got on the phone with you.
Wonderful. So what if, no, I'm just teasing.
No. Yeah. Too hard to explain, but it's, you know, it's just one of those things that just sort of helps you to know that there's guidance that doesn't come directly from you.
Yeah, that's great. Also, I want to talk about the different styles of workshops. So we go to this beginner's workshop, mm-hmm. and we learn a lot about our own emotions and our emotional congruity.
Yes.
And then you're ready to meet the horses?
Yes. We take people through a process of meeting the herd twice because we want them to learn what it's like before we give them the information, and then we ask them to meet the herd after we give them the information.
Okay.
And, of course, then they can start to look at the differences between, oh, wow, when I was really paying attention to what was going on with my body, I got something different than the first time I looked at the horse.
So the horses respond differently to the people.
Well, and the people get different information. Mm-hmm. And we have them write that down, and we always say, write down anything. It might even seem really silly to you. It might be a song. It might be, you know, a phrase that's coming. You might think somebody's really, you know, talking to you about something. Just write it down.
Hmm. And, of course, you teach part of the course is animal communication, isn't it?
Well, in some way. I mean, it's I wouldn't say we'd necessarily teach animal communication, but what we do is teach people how to really start to pay attention to their own intuition, to their own body's wisdom, and to the information that they may get from the horse.
So let me just jump around.
Sure, go ahead.
You know, I know a bunch. I know a number of people that are working with horses and with, for example, ADD and ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these, and I keep hearing stories about amazing results where young, maybe an at-risk youth,
yes,
works with a rescue horse and vice versa.
Yes.
And then the ADD shifts radically. How do you explain that kind of thing? And do you have those experiences at Epona, or is that?
Yes, we do. And you know that we have instructors all over the world now, and you can also get their information on our website. So some of our instructors actually specialize in working with those populations.
Oh, really? Yes. Yeah. So I'd like to talk about that as well.
Yeah, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but I'll answer your first question. I believe what really happens is, first of all, a child that has ADD or ADHD is highly sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
So they're picking up a lot of things in the environment, just like a horse might.
Mm-hmm.
So helping them to see that they're not really this strange little person, but they actually are a person that picks up a lot of nuance.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're starting to teach them about themselves and they start to understand and maybe feel for the first time in their life that what they have is maybe a gift instead of a curse, then they, through a series of different exercises, you can take the children through an experience where they really have a positive outcome. And whether it's a child or whether it's an adult that has a positive outcome and they're working with this huge animal, maybe they're like you. They've never really worked with an animal like that before, and
mm-hmm.
they're frightened.
Mm-hmm.
But they, through the different exercises, they have an opportunity to have an experience with this horse. And what it does is it helps them to sort of do some reintegration of their brain. Now, please don't ask me how that happens exactly.
Oh, we wanted a whole definition. No, I'm teasing you. But, I mean, that's really, it sounds like a miracle, but really on another level, it sounds like the integration of life at a higher level. Instead of resistant, it's more integrating, isn't it?
Yes, it's more integrating.
Hmm.
And there's different organizations. There's an institute called the Institute of Heart Math. And I don't know their website, but it's probably just, you know, just
heart math is in
heart
mathematics.
Math. Mm-hmm. Heart math.
I've heard something about this,
have you?
So I'm excited
about
the story.
Actually, and they work with horses. Mm-hmm. And the reason they work with the horses is that they're talking about the heart's electromagnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're talking about is how much energy the heart sends out. And so we're talking about making connections or communication. Is it so much more powerful than what the brain sends out?
Isn't that wonderful? So, and I've heard that now you can tell me more about this, but I heard that through the heart math research, they've discovered that the there gets to be a harmony between the pulses of the heart or the beats of the heart of the horse and the
yes.
pulses of people's hearts or
yes.
their blood
yes.
pressure.
Yes.
That's very exciting, and that is a congruency that develops itself.
Right, and thinking about that, can you imagine how calming that influence is?
Tremendous.
You know, that helps to lower your blood pressure and to calm you down. And, you know, it's sort of like when people take animals into the hospitals now. I don't think anyone's brought the horses in yet, although I think maybe somebody's brought some of the little minis in.
Oh, wow. Wouldn't that be great? Now,
yeah.
What about aging, people who are really a lot older and having horses around?
Well, that's a good question. One of our graduates who just graduated is working with an elderly population. And first of all, she's going to start working with the cards with the elderly because some of the information about the horses can come through in the cards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that lady that called in was talking about a picture of the queen, wasn't she?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So some information. And then maybe she can take them out, and they can do this simple process of meet the herd, which is over the fence. So it doesn't put them, if they're in a wheelchair or they're using a walker,
mm-hmm.
they can still get the energy because it's a huge energy field that comes from the horse's heart.
It really is, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
So, and we even do something that's very simple. It's an ancient form called Wu Wei. So you might even take some people and have them sit in a chair outside the pen again so they're in a safe place and just have that experience of being with a horse.
Mm.
You know?
And it changes their own, frequencies, their own radiance.
Yes, yeah.
And when you change the frequencies, change the reality.
Yeah.
Well, this is very exciting. Let's talk about, there's so many things to talk about, Kathleen, because you have some wonderful, wonderful workshops that seem to lead to more shamanic understanding.
Yes.
And that's part of the evolution of the species, too, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you want to talk about some of those and the kinds of experiences people are having?
Okay.
The other thing is, I see on this list you have the 9 essential skills for building authentic community.
Yes.
Anyway, get into the shamanic stuff, which is really fun and wonderful, but maybe we want to talk about the community building concept too.
Okay, I'll talk about that. If you look on the Epona website, is that what you're talking about, looking at some of the workshops that
yes.
are coming up? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's one that's coming up called the Sentient Herd.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be a workshop that's being offered by Linda Kohanev and Shelley Rosenberg and Kathy Huddleston.
What do you call it, the sentient?
The sentient, sentient.
Okay.
Horses, you know, are sentient beings, so they have, you know, their own souls and their own minds. So it's called the Sentient Herd. And it's a workshop for people that are interested in working with horses or have worked with horses. Maybe there's some people that are riding instructors, for instance, and they're going to be coming and working with them and learning how to work with horses in a whole different way.
Hmm.
There's another course that's on there called Charting Your Own Course, which is a workshop that I'm doing, along with a woman named Wendy Golding, who is one of our Epona graduates, and she is a shamanic practitioner. She lives up in Canada, and she follows the deer path.
Hmm.
And then the other parts of looking, the way that we look at shamanism with the horses is shamanism through the way of the horse, because as you know, shamanism in its basic definition is working with nature's intelligence.
Hmm. I was just thinking it was altered intelligence, meaning not just the third-dimensional thought.
Well, yeah, and it does take you into that that other sort of a state that you talked about the creativity earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But the shamanic work that we might do at Epona would be a simple thing like maybe doing a drumming ceremony, taking people to meet their horse guide. Linda's husband is a man by the name of Steve Roach.
Mm-hmm.
And he also does a lot of shamanic music and has been world renowned for many, many years working with people, and people use his music to take people into altered states.
Hmm.
So Steve works with us in a lot of the different workshops we're doing.
Would you say he uses sound healing tools, or is it music that moves you into different levels of trance states?
probably music that moves you into different levels of trance states.
Hmm. And that helps people.
And his information you can get onto his website from ours. It's Steve Roach.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah. I know he's got a workshop that's that he's doing with a woman named Byron Metcalf, and they're doing actually holotropic breath work along with Steve's music.
Wonderful. So that's Horace's holotropic breath work.
Yeah.
Isn't that, well, so you're combining forces with all kinds of...
Yeah, and I'll be using some of the, Steve is going to be doing a concert in Charting Your Own Course, too. And then there's another workshop in there that Linda's doing called Black Horse Wisdom. So the best thing to do is probably for people to get on the website, you know, and to look at it. And then if they can't get to Epona, we'd love for them to come to Epona, which is, by the way, in Sonoyta, Arizona now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, and we have 130 acres.
Great.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. About 40 horses. So it's
for
a big...
people who don't know, Sonoyta is south of Tucson.
Yes, south of Tucson, an hour south of Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, at 5,000 feet.
Wow.
Which people are always sort of surprised, you know. So we actually get winter weather sometimes. We get snow down there at least twice a year.
Wow. I bet it's beautiful, though, huh?
Oh, it's just beautiful.
That's great.
Just beautiful. But if they can't get to Sonoyta, they can always get on our website and look at all the different students around the world. Like I said, we have international group of people that are teaching our work now.
I noticed that you have a lot of Canadian groups now.
A lot of Canadians, mm-hmm. South Africa, England, Ireland, Spain. I don't want to miss anybody, but they're all over the place. Finland, Australia.
This is a part of the evolution of people's understanding of horses. So the horses themselves are being released into their more shamanic nature, right?
Oh, I think so, and the horses actually are always guiding us. I mean, we always talk about working in partnership with the horses.
That's wonderful.
You know, as a psychotherapist, a former psychotherapist, I'd like to say, but somebody that has that background and that training, I am so grateful to have them as my co-facilitators.
So we're undoing some of our beliefs and learning that the animals have wisdom and we can take advantage of or share with them.
Yes, yes.
That's so exciting because horses have really been quite abused, you know.
Yes.
Where do you get your horses? Because I keep talking also with people who are working with rescue horses.
We have some rescue horses, and people are always, you know, contacting us to say, would you like to take my horse? But, of course, since we have riding programs, too, we need horses that can be ridden.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our instructors, somebody may call, Shelley Rosenberg is the manager, the barn manager, and works with all the different horses at Epona, but she may get a call, and somebody may say, I've got a horse for such and such, and it might not be something that would fit at Epona, but it may be one that one of our instructors, you know, could work with.
Hmm.
So,
does it take, for horses, does it take a long time, a lot of training for a horse, for example, that's been abused and is in a rescue facility or so on?
Mm-hmm.
Does it take it a long time for the horse to unfold into his or her potential as well?
Well, at times it does, but so there's so many different ways that we work with the horses. One thing I like to remind people of is that the horses are also healed through this process.
Yeah, that's what I'm really
right. Yeah, because first of all, we don't use our horses, and so let an example of a horse, and I've got to talk about him because he's such a master, is Noche.
Mm-hmm.
Now you met Noche.
I think I remember that. Yes.
Yes, you did. He was our sage, and he's since gone to the other side. But Noche, and Linda writes about Noche in Riding Between the Worlds and the Tao of Equus. Because he is a horse that, actually, I remember he worked for a long period of time with one of my clients. And he was able to help her just as much as she was able to help him.
Hmm.
But it's going through, with a horse like Noche, it took a while. It took a certain process of learning how to approach him. Linda also talks about Merlin, her stallion. And Merlin was very, very abused. And, you know, to the point where people were thinking he should be destroyed, but Linda didn't do that, of course.
Mm-hmm.
She took him on, and he's fathered two babies, and hopefully we're going to have another baby this spring.
And how is his temperament? How's his ability?
Oh, wonderful.
Really?
Wonderful.
Isn't it sort of like human beings, and you know, this
yeah.
psychotherapist, where we've been abused?
I mean, you know, you don't want to have a stallion come by his mares, but of course, But no, Merlin is a changed being with this work. And it's really recognizing his need for space and his energy field.
Mm-hmm.
We all have need for space and energy fields, and sometimes, you know, we have bigger need for space, right?
Well, what I was starting to compare is that people who are abused very often become more able to move out of their bodies or out of the normal consciousness. It sounds like that's so for horses as well.
I think so. One of the things that, and I find this, and I used to find this a lot in my practice, which is one of the reasons I really love working with the horses, because it requires you to be in your body and also be able to make, to be able to go out of your body. So to get the information. But if you're not in your body and you're working around a horse, that's pretty dangerous.
And you yourself, you're an intuitive?
Yes. I think I probably am.
I know you've had a long history as a wonderful therapist, and I know that when you talk about going out of your body, so that does take us into the intuitive.
But the thing is, one of the reasons that Linda titled the second book "Riding Between the Worlds" is the horses are able to be in both places at once. And sometimes with people that are trauma survivors, they know how to dissociate really quickly because they had to do that, of course, to survive the trauma. But we talk about something called creative dissociation, which is being able to go to some place and get information, but also be able to come back.
And the horses, let me see now. Would you call that moving dimensions, shifting dimensions?
Shifting dimensions.
All right, now I want to ask you something. I don't know if this is too grounded from what we're talking about, but I was looking at this little list of things that you talk about working with people, and you talked about the mother-daughter bonding. And a lot of us have been curious about that, for example, as a soul contract or a natural course of events is the mother-daughter individuation problem, da-da-da-da. And does this work really well with horses, and how does that work?
Well, it works with horses, and one of the reasons it works with horses, I think relationship building is just amazing work with the horses. So whether it's a mother-daughter, a husband-wife, you know, father-son, but what it is that it helps people to really start to be authentic within themselves. And so, you know, when somebody says to you, trust me, and your body goes, I don't think so, right?
Right.
So it's helping you to be able to be more trustworthy yourself. I mean, so that when you say, you know, this is a trustworthy person, it's because they're congruent and they're consistent. So one of the ways, I mean, I'm a mother of two daughters and the oldest of four girls.
That's a lot of girls.
And I know this mother-daughter thing pretty well, okay?
I bet you do, yeah.
But what I've seen when I actually did a workshop years ago at Miravelle called the mother-daughter connection and worked with some of the horses. This was before I met Linda, I think, actually. But what I found is that it's an opportunity for mothers and daughters to start to make a connection that's real. And also to be able to observe each other's boundaries and to be able to talk authentically of what's okay and what's not okay.
So do you have examples of this working perhaps more swiftly than normal psychotherapy?
Oh, yes. That's why I'm doing it.
So how long does it take, like a weekend or 10 years?
Well, I mean, no, it doesn't take 10 years. You know, there's a lot of different things. We work with a lot of people that have a trauma background, so maybe they would come and work individually for a while, or maybe they'll come to a workshop and then work individually. You know, this I don't like to think that anything's a quick fix, but what happens is the tools that we give them, the body scan, the false self, the authentic self, the emotional message chart, being able to go in with a horse and really understand where they are in relation to the horse with their boundaries versus the horses, give them tools that they never could get sitting in my office because I could talk to them about boundaries or being congruent or, you know, talking from their authentic voice. But until they're, but in this kind of an, you know, that's why it's experiential learning, right? So they're really in their bodies and doing this work.
So also when people are doing this, I mean, they don't actually have to ride horses, do they?
No. You know, a lot of our work is on the ground. The sentient herd workshop, they're going to be riding horses. But a lot of the work is done on the ground. Actually, I always say that, you know, since my background isn't an equestrian, I mean, I feel I know a lot more about horses than I certainly did in 99 when I started working with Linda. But I don't teach riding because that's not my background.
Mm-hmm. But do you ride?
I do. And I haven't ridden that much. I mean, part of the thing is right now is that we're so busy. I spend a lot of time with the horses on the ground. And you know what? I don't miss riding as much as I thought I would have because I feel so connected to the horses by, you know, just being in their presence.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to the creativity. We're going back and forth from traumatic situations into evolutionary situations.
Right.
Or maybe all of them are evolutionary.
Right.
But what about creativity? So we have a mutual friend who was doing riding and writing gatherings, and that's a good combo.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, Jan.
Yeah, and how does that work? Is that the same idea where, why don't you explain it?
Okay, well, there's different ways. We like to start a lot of our workshops by people will do like maybe a very short guided meditation and then maybe ask them a question. Let's say it was about writing, if you're talking about creative writing.
Mm-hmm.
So we might say, you know, give them some sort of a sentence or two about that, like they're going to write creatively, or is there something that you feel you want to say or your heart or your soul wants to speak? And then we'd ask them to do a mandala, a drawing. Now a lot of people get nervous about that. You know, they see the crayons on the table and they see these circles and they say, "Oh my God, I can't do it." But the thing is, the most beautiful things come out of that. And then we ask them to share that with the other people in the group. And what that does, it starts to really pique people's curiosity, and they start to go, "Well, gee, maybe I am a little bit creative." Linda just did a creative writing workshop.
Hmm. What does the role of the horse play in that?
Well, what the horse will do is she's actually doing another workshop, I think, called The Horse as a Muse.
Hmm. I love that, The Horse as a Muse.
Yeah, actually, I think that's the workshop she's doing right now as we're speaking with Kim McElroy.
Hmm.
But anyway, the horse can help you because it gets you into that state we were talking about earlier, the lower blood pressure and the synchronicity,
right,
can help you to let go of some of the other voices that tell you you can't do something.
Hmm.
It's not that it's magic, but it's a little bit hard to explain because it's allowing yourself to listen to the voices that might be coming through and your own intuition and your own guidance.
Well, you know, we were talking on Radiance by Design, we were talking about the journey of the soul.
Yes.
And how it wants to push through some of our adaptive styles and reactive techniques and so on.
Oh, yes.
And I believe from what I'm hearing you talk about is that this helped our journey to authentication, and the advanced vibrational interaction is what helps us get right on the journey of our soul and our own innate creativity,
yes,
is it not?
Yes.
So it's actually a route to our gifts in many ways, isn't
right.
it?
Right. It's moving from that survival orientation, which a lot of us have done, and into the thriving orientation. So to be able to be thriving and be in that abundant state.
Wow. Isn't that exciting?
Mm-hmm.
So let me see, partnership through mutuality, more fulfilling relationships, is that the same kind of thing?
Well, I think that workshop's being put on by Catherine Clerk at the Epona Center, who also graduated from our apprenticeship.
Is mutuality that
mutuality? Yeah, in mutuality, working in mutuality. So we're always talking about working mutually with a horse.
Hmm.
So as a partner, as an equal partner.
Okay.
So I think that I don't want to speak for Catherine because this is her workshop, but I've done partnership workshops too with the horses, and so it helps people to really see and how to partner, you know. It's a great, great type of work to do with couples.
I was just going to say it would be a really good way for people to find out.
Oh, it's wonderful. A real simple thing like grooming a horse with a couple.
Really?
You get to see the different styles, you know, who goes first and who asks, and, you know, how are they, and how are they in sync with each other? How do they work together?
And who's being a martyr and who's being over?
Well, you get to really see a lot, and then, you know, could you give them some sort of, I don't want to use the word a task, but an opportunity, I guess, you know, to work with a horse, and I've done that a number of times. It's very interesting to watch.
Well, yeah, that is very exciting, actually, isn't it?
So I'm sorry, what did you say?
I think that's very exciting.
Yeah.
Also, what about addictions? You were talking about being at Miraval. Miraval and these various places.
Right.
Not Miraval. What's the other
one? Well, it was Sierra Tucson's where I used to work.
That's right.
Yeah, and when I first was exposed to the horses was in the early 90s when a woman by the name of Barbara Rector, who started trot here in Tucson, mm-hmm. brought the horses to work with the adolescents in the Adolescent Center at Sierra Tucson. And my background is I'm an addictions counselor. So one of the reasons that the horses are really powerful with addictions is, A, people that are addicted, whether it's alcohol, whether it's an eating disorder, whether it's drugs, whether it's sex, you know, whatever it is they're trying to transcend, you know. Mm-hmm. I always say the people that would come to me and would have these addictions that, you know, were really life-threatening and soul-killing were actually very spiritual people looking for something.
Mm-hmm.
And so the opportunity to be able to work with the horses helped them to do some of that work where they're still in their body to be able to do the transcendence.
Mm.
It's really powerful. A lot of my practice was eating disorders, so I've done a few workshops with women that have eating disorders because they're not used to being in their body. They don't even know anything about their body.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that, because my understanding of eating disorders is there's a huge issue of power in there.
Well, yes, and because a lot of people that have an eating disorder have never had any power themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been somebody else. So if you talk about somebody that might be anorexic, for instance, they may be like that because I'm going to refuse this food. It's the only way they can say, you know, I have some autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
I love working with the horses with people with eating disorders because they say, look at this beautiful horse. Look at the way this horse is made. Look at the horse's rump. That's where their energy comes from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially women that are anorexic go, oh, my God, you know. And you start to have them understand the beauty of the horse, which is the same beauty that they carry within themselves. And they start to look at their bodies in a different way.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because what they start to get to see is the power that the horse has by their body being
strong
and in shape and able to move. And whether you're working with someone that has that's bulimic or somebody that's overweight or somebody that's anorexic. So it's...
How long does it take, for example, with somebody who's bulimic or anorexic to be congruent enough to be in alignment with visiting the horse? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes. Well, when I've done it before, what I would do is start with a workshop. But then with a group like that, I would be working with them probably on a weekly basis.
Hmm.
So some of the work is done with people working on a weekly basis. You might have a group come together, or you might have somebody come and work with you one-on-one.
Do you have any examples of people who, I don't care which, whether it's somebody who was physically ill, mentally ill, emotionally ill, or spiritually ill, who came and found more of themselves?
Oh, my God. A thousand. So
all the people listening to this show love to know other people's
stories. They want to know some of the stories. Well,
they
again,
they
can
know the transcendence of human nature is so precious, isn't it?
Yeah, I think one of the things that really happens is that, and this you see this happen a lot with somebody that's had, you know, some early trauma, because of course these things like the eating disorders or the addictions come out of some early trauma in a child's development. And what you'll see is you'll see them getting an opportunity again to have a positive outcome and to actually create a neural pathway so that, let's say that there was a stimulus, let's say, talking about your fear again, let's say that same fear came up again, but they were taught how to keep themselves safe and actually to go in and work with a horse, maybe with the assistance of a facilitator. And they actually have a positive outcome so that what they know in the future is when that same feeling comes up again, it always doesn't turn out to be a negative thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates a new neural pathway so that they actually start to have different feelings. I mean, it actually will help them have different endorphins that come.
Mm.
You know, there's one woman that I know that Linda and I worked with early on who was probably on 7 different kinds of medication. And she actually somebody I worked with for a number of years, and she was sent to me by my supervisor, who's a psychiatrist. And after she started working with the horses, she was able to go off of all of her medication except for one.
Mm.
And it was because she knew that she was able to, again, to help herself when she started to get into a high anxiety state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we teach people how to do that. You know, simple things like breathing are really important.
Oh, that old thing.
Oh, that one.
Well, do you think the horses train the people as much?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Or are the people understanding how the horses...
And the horses will come... Linda tells a beautiful story about Noche, the horse I was talking about earlier, and, you know, and she has on this new card deck, she's got a beautiful story in there about Noche, and she calls him the master of sadness.
Hmm.
And, horses can't cry like humans, but what'll happen is they'll have one tear and, you know, they'll come closer to a human that maybe is expressing an emotion of sadness.
Hmm.
Now, can you imagine what that feels like to have that huge horse come and just stand next to you? They don't give you any advice, by the way.
Hmm.
But they just stand next to you and they breathe while you let go of some of your sadness.
Oh.
So, you know, grief and sadness is the horses are so healing in that area.
Isn't that wonderful? So they don't take umbrage or take exception to you because
no,
you feel
no,
that.
And actually, like Linda says, they like to. She thinks that they take a ride on our tears. They think that's one of our greatest assets is their ability to cry.
Oh, well, tell me about cancer because I know, or physical illnesses. Do you have any examples of that? Because I know there are groups of, for example, women with breast cancer who work with horses.
Right. Actually, we had a breast cancer group that came to. It's a long story, so I'm going to try to make it kind of short. But
well, you know what? These stories are very touching.
Yeah, I'm going to tell the story of these breast cancer survivors that came to a workshop that was actually put on by our apprentices. So our apprentices do workshops when they go through the apprenticeship training, which is a year-long training program. And they were putting on a workshop for breast cancer survivors, and the night before that, Noche died.
Oh, my.
So we always have said to our students that, you know, you have to be ready to, if your horse dies or something's happened and you've got a group coming to you, you know, you've got to be able to talk to them. And so, of course, we talked to the apprentices and they said, what are we going to do? We said, we're going to let people know that you're sad. Of course you're sad.
Right. Be real.
And be real. But these women came and it was an amazing workshop because, you know what, they faced death themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't really that afraid of it. Because they'd already faced it. So there was so much healing that day. I think there was a lot of healing with the people that had the breast cancer and probably just as much with the apprentices when they really got to see that they could be congruent with their emotions and still be able to teach because they had to go ahead and teach, you know, but also to talk about what was really going on with them.
Mm.
And that these people weren't afraid of that.
And the thing is when that comes through, they change their neural pathways as well.
Right. And it gives them an opportunity. It gives them an opportunity to have something that's really positive in their lives. And quite a few people are working, and particularly with breast cancer, because unfortunately it's such a big. We have probably, I'd say, 7 of our instructors who have gone through breast cancer themselves. So they could speak to it much more eloquently than I can. But there also seems to be something about the horses that can help people to identify. I'm not saying they can identify cancer necessarily, but they can identify certain things. And
well, some of the emotional and biochemical.
Well, and also allowing someone to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
When we do a process that we call reflective round pen, the person will go into a round pen with a horse, with some of these skills that we've taught them, and stand next to the horse and maybe talk to them about what it was like to go through that, how afraid they were.
Hmm.
And again, since the horses can stand there and really listen because they're interested in what the person's saying, but they don't, because they're interested in the congruency. It isn't like that they're listening to the words, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
they know it's a real emotion.
It's a real emotion.
Yeah.
It's very healing. I mean, I've seen people just come out of the round pen with your other show is Radiance,
mm-hmm.
with a radiance all around them.
Mm. Well, partly that's the horses. Energy field as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And of course, when we're authentic, we are more radiant, aren't we?
We are. And so, you know, people have that. You also touched on earlier, if you wanted me to talk a little bit about it, is the 9 essential skills for authentic community building.
Yes, that's really a wonderful. We have a lot we could talk about. However,
yeah.
We have to pick something.
Well, there are different skills that both Linda and I have found that are really necessary when you're building authentic community,
mm-hmm.
and it's not easy.
No.
You know, it's being congruent. It's being able to sit in uncomfortable emotions without panicking. I talk about holding the sacred space of possibility for people, which is really what the horses are doing.
Mm.
You know, it's a possibility that something can change, you know.
I know in my work I often say when people are seen and known for who they really are, they often receive a healing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're saying the horses
yeah.
do, really.
Yes. I mean, you know, when you think about a newborn coming into this world, there's this perfect little person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an opportunity to really to find that piece of authenticity and that piece of creativity, that piece of who you are, you know, what you're bringing into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, you know, it's working with the soul.
That's wonderful work. We'll go back to the 9 essential skills.
Uh-huh.
And you talked about the spiritual space.
Well, I call it the sacred space of possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And really what that is, it's an active way of engaging with people, but it's an opportunity to, if I hold that space for you,
mm-hmm.
okay, what I'm doing is saying, I'm holding this space that something can change for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sacred to do that. It's actually a really important part of a lot of the work that we do is holding that sacred space of possibility.
It sounds like something we could apply all the time anyway.
Exactly. Right.
So that's one of them. So what are 8 of the others?
Well, I don't know, and as soon as you're asking that, of course, I'm sitting here looking and going, oh, my God, what are the 9 essential skills?
Well,
I know them, right?
The concept of building authentic
community
is a really mind-boggling concept because we all know about wonderfully powerful people who can't seem to get that to work.
It's a difficult thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, you know, we came up with the 9 essential skills to try to help people to see. And one of them is, like I said, sitting in uncomfortable emotions without panicking.
Mm-hmm. And that's really not that easy to do.
No, And also sitting in emotions without trying to change something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having really clear boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Being congruent.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to, to know when to speak and when not to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's sitting in those uncomfortable emotions. You know what it's like when somebody's trying to fix something and you're not ready for that to be fixed?
Yeah, really.
And we've all had that kind of an example.
You've probably all done it, too. You know?
Exactly. Or when somebody's really grieving, you know, or somebody's really crying, how do you sit there and let that process go through? You don't go in there and hand them a Kleenex too soon and try to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And it really, the first 8 essential skills, it helps someone get to the 9th skill, which is their authentic self,
mm-hmm.
activating the authentic self, and allowing that to be, you know, and what it takes in a show like yours, mm-hmm. is one that helps people to encourage that is this worldwide community that, you know, that's going to honor the authenticity in people.
I was going to say, when you're talking about these various skills, there has to be an innate respect because you can feel when it's not there, can't you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
This is really exciting. So give the website again, Kathleen.
Okay, it's Tao, T-A-O, of Equus, E-Q-U-U-S, .com.
And also, can you say, can you recommend for people at home who may not make it to Epona,
right.
or may not make it to any equestrian or equine facilitated learning situation, can you give them a little something to go on, make their lives richer?
That's something like, let's see, I'm just trying to think. I mean, it was not like to get one of Linda's books and read one of those.
Yeah, that's a good
yeah.
idea.
I actually think the way the horse cards are going to be extremely important for people.
Great.
Because a lot of times, you know, we don't have time to maybe sit down and read a book like The Tao of Equus or Riding Between the Worlds. But you can just pick one of these cards and then read the essay that is attached to that card. And it'll help you for what you might need that day. You know, it's that guidance that so many of us, we're not really getting the kind of guidance that we want.
Right.
You know, we might get guidance from somebody telling us what we would call the false self. So,
well,
and
there's another thing too that you've been talking about, which is the body scan, for example, to learn to tune into what we really feel and how authentic we are
right.
at a given time.
Right. Yeah. We teach people the body scan. Say, you know, if you're going, before you go into the meeting, go in the bathroom and do a body scan.
I think that's a really good.
But really understand, because it's important for you to understand where your energy is that day. You know, what you're feeling.
Right.
For instance, if you're able to sit in the, one of the ways to sit in uncomfortable emotions is to be able to tell the difference between yours and someone else's.
Mm-hmm.
So if I go into a meeting and I've been feeling pretty good in my body and then all of a sudden I start to feel angry, I don't get so confused because I think, wait a minute, then I might do a real quick body scan, you know, and go, oh, wait a minute, that's not mine, that's that person's. And you know what, it might not be any of my business why that person's angry.
Right.
But you know how often that happens, because we all feel each other's emotions and energies. They're contagious.
I always say we're herd animals, like horses.
Well, yeah, there's a man by the name of Elio Frateroli who wrote a book called Healing the Soul in the Age of the Brain.
Frateroli.
Elio Frateroli, Healing the Soul in the Age of the Brain. It's a pretty intense book. It's one of the books that's required for our apprentices. And but he talks about, he coined the term affect contagion. And basically that, you know, emotions are contagious.
Wow.
You know, and of course good emotions are contagious too. And again, that goes back to, you know, nature or being with the horses. And if someone can't be with a horse, then, you know, go outside and sit by a tree. I mean, you know what that can do.
Sure, I do, yeah.
You know.
And unfortunately, we have to go, but I've so enjoyed this conversation.
Well, thank you very much. And again, look at the website and also look at the instructors all over the world. I'm so proud of all the people that are doing the Epona work.
I'm very excited about this whole move. It's so wonderful for animals and people to grow into a new understanding.
And thank God for the horses.
You bet. All right. Many blessings, Kathleen.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Bye.
This is Veronica Entwistle, and that was, to me, a very exciting conversation with Kathleen Ingram and learning all about equine facilitated learning. And boy, oh boy, you're going to hear more and more about it. It's on the increase. More and more of us are realizing that camaraderie with ourselves, for starters, and also with animals is actually, I'm making a jump here, is helping us learn more about authenticated community potentials, as well as learning to live in harmony with one another and with horses, wonderful, wonderful horses. This is Veronica Entwistle, and you know what? I forget what I'm doing another paradigm shift next week, and I forget who's coming on, but most of you who listen to the show probably get my email, which I send out every week, telling you who's coming on Radiance by Design, what subject we're working on, and who's my next paradigm shifter, who's your next paradigm shifter as well. And so email me, Veronica at Veronica Entwistle, Entwistle. I'll spell it again. People say you go too fast. Veronica, you can probably spell that, at veronicaentwistle.com. I have a new website being created right now by a brilliant fellow, Raymond Coogan, and I'm looking forward to being able to announce my website, and you'll be able to tune in there as well and find out who's the next paradigm shifter. But in the meanwhile, if you'd like to email me, I'll email you back with your suggestions for the show, for your comments on the show, and any questions about things that are going on. I appreciate your listening to both Radiance by Design and Paradigm Shifters. Oh, and remember, I'm working with Jackie Salviti every Thursday night, and we're talking about the shadow, various levels of the shadow. We've been talking about clearing all kinds of subconscious information, whether it's from just you or from the collective, and how we're advancing the species that way. It's really exciting. Tune in. BBS Radio. Wonderful BBS Radio, Thursday night at 8 o'clock, and we'll have lots more to talk about. It's not a call-in show either, but if you email me or email Jackie, ethealing.com, you can put in your two bits worth and ask for what it is you want to talk about on ET Healing. So many blessings. Thank you so much for calling, and feel the love that we can all share when we want to. Blessings.
Can you?